B-Pod Studios.
All right, final hour, Felger and Mavs. We got Bruins items on the board. Brad Marchand suspension, Jake DeBrusk trade demand, and the imminent return of Tuukka Rask, which again, Don Sweeney all but confirmed today. Also got the Red Sox do-nothing offseason on the board. And we'll circle back to Greg Bedard's commentary on Mac Jones from earlier in the show. And this week, he stands by his statement that that was Mac Jones' worst game of the year Sunday against the Tennessee Titans. What does that mean going forward? We'll get back to it, but as promised, to your phones, Sean and Lynn. What do you got for me on the Bees?
I think they got to bring in Tortorelli as coach and trade DeBrusk for that Evan Kane that really screw up out there. And this bring total chaos into the Bruins organization, because that will get us some notoriety in the local sports scene anyhow, and it will be entertaining for us fans.
Well, that's true. Tortorella and Evander Kane in here?
Oh, my gosh.
Thanks for the content.
Talk about a dumpster fire.
Okay, content, but if you care about the team actually winning and doing something, I don't know what that's going to do for you. Ben in Groveland. Go ahead, Ben.
Hey, guys. Hey, really quick, before I get to DeBrusk, Sweeney mismanaged the goalie Tuukka Rask situation, maybe even worse than Bill mismanaged the quarterback situation after Brady. But in regards to DeBrusk, I think I want to clarify that article. I think you were saying that, like, DeBrusk wanted to go out. I think they were trying to say that maybe mental health issues, maybe the COVID protocols by him being cooped up hurt him. I know that might not matter, but maybe just mentally weak. He had the issue with Kadri that Jim Murray brought up earlier, and then he couldn't handle the criticism from his coach. So maybe just mentally weak.
Ben, that's a fair point. So Fluto Shinzawa wrote in The Athletic about DeBrusk's problems with the Bruins and some of the things that have been going on behind the scenes the last couple of years. He said that the outgoing DeBrusk struggled with the league's COVID-19 restrictions.
Yeah, there's been a bunch of emails to us that have come in, and also tweets, because he was open about battling depression during the lockdown and all of that. So maybe we read it wrong and that he was out all the time, you know, trying to go to Pound Town, and instead it's he struggled with the fact that he couldn't go out because he's so outgoing.
Okay, so wouldn't it be the first time I misread something. Either way, really? You couldn't hang out? You're like, you're outgoing and COVID sort of left you. Like, I mean, this just makes me a bad person, I know, but like the whole like COVID depression because you can't go out. Like, really?
Well, the other thing is, and look, again, I mean, I'm if the guy's got a mental health problem, that's different.
I don't mean to minimize mental health, but that's what it is. He's outgoing and we all had to stay home for a while. So that's thrown him into a funk. Sorry if I'm like not exactly taking up a collection for that one.
Yeah, the only thing I would say is that relative to other people, a lot of the pro athletes had more exposure than we did.
Way more.
So, you know, and again, I'm not telling you the bubble's a normal existence or what have you, but at least they were around each other.
You at least got to do stuff.
Yeah, and so, you know, I think that there's more there than just that with this kid. This has been going on for a few years now. This precedes COVID, and it goes beyond, you know, not that we're out of it yet, but life has returned to some level of normalcy, and he's still not playing well.
Yeah, I mean, so there are a lot of guys that have continued to play at a very high level before the pandemic, during the pandemic, the quasi-return after the pandemic, and now, okay, no matter whether they've been able to go out or not. So, like, I'm sorry. Like, I don't have a great sympathy gene to begin with. I admit it, but I don't have much on this one either. I'm sorry, I don't. Chris in the car. Go ahead, Chris.
Hey, guys. I would love to do Tommy from Lynn's voice, but I won't. But,
Chris,
Rask,
get to your point, please.
Yes, I apologize.
Okay, his comment line said Tuukka Rask return.
Boo. That's all I got to say to that. No, go away.
Listen, you guys are so wrong on this. It's not even funny. Their goaltending blows. It blows. Omar sucks. And you know what? Trampoline Pads hasn't played all that great either, and I like Swayman. But the fact is they have no stability in their own zone. None. They need to. The scary part, if you want to know the truth, is that Tuukka's going to come back and it's not going to matter because they're going to miss the playoffs.
I get it. Like,
so that's exactly. The goaltending's not their issue.
Yeah. So
that's exactly. You just disproved your whole statement.
No. You misread that again.
He can add some stability because it's an unstable position right now. But Maz, this is
the time Tuukka comes back, it's going to be irrelevant because they're going to have dug themselves a hole. They're not going to get in.
It's a me thing. I don't want to deal with the old suck. I'll deal with the new suck in net. I'm done with that guy. I don't want to watch him ever again.
They never should have brought in Skidmark. Never, ever should have brought him in. Oh. They should have gone with Vladar and Swayman until Tuukka came back. And then if those two kids played, well, great, then you don't need Tuukka.
100%. That's 100% right. But the Linus Ullmark, what was that? Why? Had two young kids that could play, you think. And if they couldn't, you were obviously just keeping a seat warm for Tuukka anyway as soon as he got off the golf course.
Did you see the goals he gave up against Vancouver the other day?
Some of them, yeah.
Oh, my God. One was a little wrister, like dumping. It was a dump-in from the blue line. He didn't tie up the puck, and it got pushed past him. The other one was a wrister that went between his pads.
So you want to bring in another goalie? That's no problem. Bring in another goalie. Why does it have to be this guy again? Matt in New Bedford. Go ahead, Matt.
Okay, so I'm going to sound like a Barstool bitch, but honestly, I really do believe that Marchand was just trying to hit Larson. I mean, you could see him load up for the hit, and I know his leg hit his right leg, but he was already in the motion of hitting, and that's why his body had turned a little bit. Maz, I can't stand your Tuukka Rask take. I think it's as dumb as a take as I've ever heard, and I really can't stand it. But the Bruins are absolutely reeling, Felger, and man, this sucks. They could be done in this 3-game stretch, honestly.
So, Matt, who do you want playing goal?
I'll take Swayman and get rid of Skidmark. Just pull something off a dumpster fire. I don't care. But I'll keep Swayman up. And I know, you know, just have Goldie Bob work on his freaking rebounds.
But Swayman maybe needs time. Maybe he's raw. And maybe the league's figured something out on him, you know? So, fine. Like, you could expect that. Between him and Vladar, you couldn't have pieced that together for no money? And then if you're so, so committed to Tuukka, because for all he's done for you over the years, that you had to bring him back, then you can easily send those guys back. Vladar, I guess, was out of options, so you couldn't, like, maybe, but, you know,
they could have kept him on the roster.
Vladar, they couldn't have sent down.
No, they couldn't have sent down, but he had to be with the NHL club.
Yeah, right, they'd have to carry three goalies unless they wanted to send Swayman down.
Yeah, but you didn't have to worry about that till March.
To me, the Ullmark thing was just a panic move. They were afraid to be without a veteran goalie. So you had to go out and sign the highest paid goalie on the market, the second highest paid goalie on the market to get that seat warm guy. Brutal.
Yeah, I know that you and apparently many of the callers and listeners don't like Rask, which I get. Their goaltending blows. They're 21st in the league in save percentage. It blows.
What are they in goals per game?
14th.
Okay, so what are they even if they get average goaltending?
Okay, but the point is their defense is so bad that they're going to need an above average goalie. They need somebody to steal some goals for them.
Come out and gut it out. Yeah, so good. Let's bring back Tuukka.
Oh, I know. No, but Skidmark's the solution.
Tommy Quincy.
Leaving grease stains on the ice.
I'm not. Skidmark's not my guy. That's a Don Sweeney's guy. Tommy Quincy on the Red Sox. Go ahead.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Hey, this whole thing with this awful two signings, I just don't get. But I heard one guy call Beadle and Zoe earlier today, and he was saying that he was one of the analytical people that kind of gets ripped on this show. So I will say thanks for listening. here's the point, all right? I don't understand why first thing you hear from them, as soon as you're like, I don't like this move, they go, what do you want him to do? Go get Baez for 140? One, stop being so defensive. Just because I don't like this particular move, I'm not saying go spend $140 million on another guy that's not worth it. Secondly, if it's a CBA-type situation and you want to see how the money falls and what you got to spend, then my main question to Bloom and the Bloom disciples is, so your two orders of business that you had to get done before CBA was Ref Snyder and Michael Walker? Please explain your logic on that one, because that logic sucks.
Well, if you don't want to pay $43 million for Max Scherzer, I would tend to agree with you. That Corey Seager contract, like, wow.
Outrageous.
I'm not doing that either. You're saying there's no one? There's not a single guy in the market that's worth some money?
Yeah, so this is why the Steven Matz contract to me sticks out. 4 years, $44 million. 4 times 11. He got for 4 years what Scherzer got for one. Okay, $44 million. They were in on him. And that was too rich for their blood. He chose St. Louis because the Red Sox wouldn't go to that number. And let's just say the Red Sox actually offered a little more. So then he didn't want to come here. So that your year last year in Alex Cora, that was a flash in the pan. Like, you weren't enough of a lure to get Steven Matz, or you wouldn't pony up the dough to get Steven Matz. And I think it was the money. 4 times 15 and you had him. Can you just do that?
Kind of scary.
Oh, terrifying.
We continue with your thoughts, and we circle back to Greg Bedard on Mac Jones. Not high in his performance Sunday against Tennessee. He doubled down on that. What does it mean going forward? We discuss right after these words.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Felger
and Maz.
Those guys are always trouble.
I want nothing to do with this guy.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Let's be real about this. If Mac Jones was someplace else with other coaches, with other supporting cast, just like this is why I dismissed the, well, he's the best rookie quarterback. We knew that was going to be the case. If you put him in a different circumstance where he doesn't have this offensive line, he doesn't have this running game. He doesn't have this defense and special teams and this coaching. Who knows what Mac Jones is? He's probably in the bottom third of the league. But you cannot, I would not deem Mac Jones special, even though I do think he has special qualities that will show itself like Brady did in time, his intangibles. But you can't say what he's done this year has been special. What the Patriots have done as a football organization has been special this year.
So that's Bedard trying to moderate some of the Mac Jones hype out there. He likes the player, don't get him wrong. But he did think he was coming off his worst game as a Patriot. And I just disagree. Against New Orleans, he threw 3 interceptions.
Yeah, the New Orleans game was worse.
In the first, and I'm just, approximating this number, so if it's not exactly right, don't hold it against me. But I want to say the first 4 to 6 weeks of the year, he was putting the ball on the ground. Remember the fumbles he used to have?
Oh, yeah, sure.
I say used to, like they're totally a thing of the past. They're not totally a thing of the past, but he was putting the ball on the ground. He was getting intercepted. He was getting sacked a crap ton, which I know is mostly on his line, but was on him some, at least, had to have been. And I don't think he was necessarily playing winning football in some cases anyway. And I think on Sunday he did that against Tennessee. I thought he was pretty good against Tennessee.
So I do wonder if maybe Greg's factoring that in, like as I think about it, as we discuss it. He was protected in this game. So maybe Greg looks at it as, well, when he gets pressured, I don't blame him.
That's definitely what he did.
Right? So, look, I think there are people overstating how well he played on Sunday. That's been sort of a common theme all year long. And I thought he missed some throws, but I thought he was okay in this game. I didn't think he was horrible.
And the grade he gave was a C+. I said C yesterday, but I think I ultimately got talked into a C+. I think that's fair. It's this breathless, oh, this is the best rookie we've ever seen. Oh, like that, I think, is where there's some pushback. Like, he was good. He was fine in this game the other day. And like Greg said, he's comparing him to himself. So the game against the Browns, I think, is like we can all agree that's his best game, right?
Yep.
Like he's slinging it all over the field. So you can compare it to that. It wasn't as good as that game. And we know he has that kind of ceiling, maybe even higher. He's only a rookie. Like, who knows how much untapped potential there is there. But compared to that game and how good he's looked at times, this wasn't that good on Sunday.
So the breathless commentary out there does need a check. And we're here to check it. This morning on Get Up, or yesterday, I don't remember when this was, Ryan Clark, Rex Ryan, breathless commentary of Mac Jones. Roll it, Jimmy, when you have it.
And you made a great point, Rex, is that Mac Jones, whatever it is he doesn't do, what he does do is he puts the ball there in a place that the receivers can catch it and run with it.
Yeah, no, absolutely. How many times you see the ball, like a guy will complete a pass, but it's on their back hip. Yeah,
right.
And
extremely
accurate. This dude extremely hits accurate. It right under your chin.
Yeah.
And that's the thing where it's like, that's an accurate passer, and to me, he's been impressive as well.
Mac Jones is going to be the rookie of the year.
Correct.
And many times when we see these quarterbacks that are rookie of the year, you look at Justin Herbert, it was all about talent. Cam Newton, he won it all about talent.
Execution.
And we always go, when he gets some of these things, he might be the MVP of the league. Mac Jones has all of the some of these things, yep. The anticipation, 100. The intelligence, the understanding of defenses, how to execute, how to attack it, and the New England Patriots use that to the best of their ability, and that's why they're successful offensively. Mm-hmm.
So, breathless commentary there. Rookie of the year, which might be true. Ultimately, MVP in the league, says Ryan Clark.
Like, that's the one. Like, well, let's see. Offensive rookie of the year? Yeah, sure. Who's going to push him? Ja'Marr Chase, maybe. He's come down recently, but it should be Mac Jones. MVP talk, like, guys, like, again, like, oh, geez, all right.
And Rex Ryan talking about every ball being right there. That wasn't really the case in this game, and I thought Jones was good in this game. I didn't mind his performance, but there were a couple balls that the receivers had to reach for. Probably took him out of stride. And I don't think this was his most accurate game by a long shot. Yet, it's just sort of, well, what someone would call lazy commentary, because it just feels that way with Jones. His completion percentage is so high. He's been coached and managed strongly by Bill Belichick, and so he must have this hyper level of accuracy. When you watch it, sometimes yes, but not this past week. So you got those guys, breathless on set at ESPN. Greg Bedard on here earlier. You can catch the full 2-hour stint at 98.5thesportshub.com or the app. All those things are podcasted that day, so you never have to miss a second of Felger and Maz. Here's the big boy after giving it a second look and grading out Mac Jones on Sunday. Number one, Jimmy, please.
I thought, in my opinion, it was Mac's worst game of the year. Now, I'm not saying that's bad. I didn't think he was bad in the game. I would say he was C-plus range, oh. I think. But
I'm sorry, hold on. What was that?
That was me just... I said. Very excited because he was on par with me.
No, like they keep you. Just roll the cut. Go ahead, Jimmy.
But
I'm sorry. Hold on. What was that?
I said, "Oh, it's nice to hear this." Because I turns out my eyes worked. Oh, but you had blood into oblivion yesterday with this kind of observation that I had.
Go ahead.
And leaving the press box, I did not think Mac had a good game. I thought that them starting 1-for-5 in the red zone was a good portion had to do with him. But I leave it up to the film because I can be wrong. Sometimes I'm wrong in the press box, but I watched it back last night and then reinforced what I thought. I had Mac Jones for 4 above average plays, plus plays. I had him for 11 minus plays, below average plays. I thought that.
Wow, 11?
And that was him. 4 plus plays, 11. I'm sorry, Jimmy. How many minus plays?
11.
How many minus plays did he have again?
Wow, 11?
Yeah, 11. 11 minus plays, man. I don't think he had quite that many.
That crap ton. 11?
So, either way, I am all for, though. Like, I don't agree with Greg, but I give him all the time he needs on this because I think it is so important, and so many people get lazy to use a stupid new cliche that's taken hold around here, but a lazy narrative. It's a lazy narrative to say that Mac Jones is getting better every week and that his accuracy is through the roof and that it just continues to go on the incline. He's playing mistake-free football. That's just giving commentary to what you think it looks broadly. If you're actually watching the games, it is definitely not that. And his progress is not linear. And I think the last two games have been worse than the one before at the Cleveland game, as you mentioned. He's up here. Then against the Falcons, he went down. I think this past week, I thought he went up a little bit, but it's somewhere in between. It's like it's a zigzag, and that's how he's progressing. And it is more than fine to come out of a game, because we do a daily talk show, and say this is what happened on Sunday. And that's what Greg thinks happened on Sunday. What does it mean going forward, knowing him, if that was really his worst game? He'll bounce back and have one of his better games Monday in Buffalo, because that's what he's done since day one of minicamp here with the Patriots.
Yeah, he does respond. He's resilient. That's the number one thing to like about him, really. And so, look, you know what I want to see more than anything? I want to see them down 20-17 with 9 minutes to go and Jones running onto the field. I want to see that happen. And honestly, I think it'd be good for him. I think it's good for them.
It'd be good for all of us.
If we can
point at a game and definitively say, Mac Jones just won you that game. That'll end a lot of the blowing. We can all come together and be like, okay, this kid's the real deal, because we haven't seen that yet.
They have not had many really close games in the fourth quarter in their wins anyway. They haven't had that at all.
I mean, the Chargers was, but it was kind of run on one on defense. It was a pick six.
Yes, exactly. And then they added a field goal, so they're up 10. So, you know, now
that was a good game sealing drive by Mac Jones.
Yes,
that was.
Yes, I'll give him that. But again, it's not like they were behind. All he had to do was get first downs. They didn't even have to score.
The closest we've come to it was the Bucs game, and then they put the brakes on him.
Totally. So I just would like to see that play out. Let's put a little more on him in one of those. And this game's the perfect one, right? You're on the road, Monday night, division opponent. And let's face it, the division is probably at stake. There's a lot at stake in this game on Monday. Let's lay it out on the table and see what it looks like.
One final segment of your phone calls. We'll have to do a lightning round because we got to get to the emails of the day as well. So the world-renowned lightning round comes your way right after Big Jim Murray gets you updated.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Felger and Mass.
They've been incredibly consistent.
The only thing that's consistent is their inconsistency.
I don't think that's inconsistent.
Yeah, which is exactly what Murray said.
Am I misinterpreting it?
No.
Now, more Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
There's been a general understanding that, you know, Tuca has to make a decision of his health first and foremost. And when he's able to do that officially and declare himself that, you know, this is what he wants to do and play, then, you know, we'll find the common ground. I don't think we have not hidden from that fact that if he indeed he is healthy and wants to play, that he's likely to be a part of our group.
If he's healthy and he wants to play, he's likely to be a part of our group, says Don Sweeney today on Tuca Rask. Ugh. Lightning round. Dan and Quincy, you lead off, which means you need to be quick. Go ahead, Danny.
Well, Felger, you took Bedard to school on those two possessions. First and goal, both from the 8-yard line. A combination, two running plays, gained 4 yards on one of them. Two running plays, gained 4 yards on the second one. And he put Josh McDaniels ought to be hung for putting that kid in a situation for throwing that stupid fade route. He had to be perfect on the throw, and that catch was 6 inches from going out of bounds. They would have been forced to kick another field goal on the first one. And that's McDaniels. I can't believe it. And the kid performed admirably. I can't believe it.
Hey, I'm with you all. Let's just stop it. It's a lightning round. I didn't like the play calling. Once again, they got to the red zone and tightened up. Mac Jones throws him inside the 10, and then they handoff, and put him in a gotta-have-it third-down play. They did it on the first possession, first and goal at the 8. Damien Harris left tackle. Damien Harris up the middle. Now they're 3rd and 4 at the 4, gotta-have-it. Mac Jones bails him out and gets a touchdown there in the corner to Kendrick Bourne. They did it on the exact next possession as well. And Mac Jones throws him all the way down the field. 22 yards to Myers, 20 yards on a crosser to Myers, 16 over the middle to Janu Smith, and a little dump off to Janu Smith for 16. First and goal at the 8. Run. Now they're 3rd and 4 at the 4. They didn't convert that one. And I just thought that was so, and they were just straight running plays. There was really nothing to it. It's like that was kind of early in the season they were doing that a bunch. So I didn't like that play calling. Anthony and Medford on John Henry and the Red Sox. Go.
Yeah, it's time for him to sell, Mike. You can't charge big market ticket prices and get small market plays. It's ridiculous. Tampa Bay was out buying us till they signed that freaking infielder who I don't even know.
I'm just going to stop you there. Can you charge big prices if you go to Game 6 of the ALCS?
Yep.
So, what do you think they're doing there, Anthony? If they were in last place, could they get away with this crap?
Nope.
Okay, so that... In some ways, if you wanted an interesting offseason, that run to the ALCS works against you. And I hate to keep going back to it. I've mentioned it 4 million times, but Sam Kennedy told you that the day after the season ended. We feel our strategy was validated and we're not going to deviate from it one bit. And that's what going to the ALCS did. It guaranteed you were going to do squat this offseason.
I mean, as long as they can hold that over your head, well, we won. Like, what can you say? So the part that I get frustrated about, I'm willing to bet they're still like in the top 6 or 7 in payroll in the league. But the part that I find frustrating is they're eliminating a whole class of players from their, you know, from their potential pool. So now it's going to be all these low salary, low budget guys, and that those guys inevitably get exposed in the playoffs.
Brian in Attleboro waiting patiently on J.C. Jackson. Go ahead, Brian.
Yeah, I just want to say the QB rating against Jackson this year is 49.8. Last year it was fifth in the league at 62.7. The year before that was 37 QBR, which was best in the league, and 2018 was 42 QBR. So I'm just saying he's a shutdown corner. Thanks, guys.
Okay, so Murray made a noise back there. I'm sorry, Jim.
How do you do after he poked?
Yeah, go ahead.
What's going on my mic? How come? How do you do against Stephon Diggs last year in that game against Buffalo in December? He poked the bear and said he was looking forward to it, and he got torched.
So that was
and
last year.
It wasn't
year.
All on him.
That was last year. So we're talking this year.
Well, he was referencing numbers from last year, too. He's good, guys. He's good. He's going to get paid. A lot of those interceptions are kind of trash, like Bill Belichick referenced. He's at the right place at the right time. He's very opportunistic. Is he a true shutdown corner? Would you put him in the same breath of Stephon Gilmore in his prime with Jalen Ramsey right now, with that Alexander you got on the Packers, Mike? I wouldn't. I think he's good. He's not like one of those guys. Those are true shutdown cornerbacks.
I mean, that list you read yesterday, the top three guys in that list, and I don't even remember who
Humphrey
they were.
With Baltimore.
Yeah, right. Yep.
Humphrey, Ramsey, and...
The guy in New Orleans.
Yeah, Lattimore.
Those three, he's not on the level of those guys, and his money's going to be. So I don't pay him like that. I don't.
We have got... who is next? Sorry, fumbled on the phones there. Tom in Dorchester on the Pats. Go ahead, Tom. Tom,
hey! Guys, I'm talking about Judon, Mr. Red Sleeve. What's his contract look like? Is he staying with us? Is he trying to get paid? What's the future for him at New England?
Oh, he's here. He just got paid.
It's like 5 years, wasn't it?
He just showing up here, Tommy.
You don't have to worry about him for a while.
You just started tuning in?
Apparently.
Day one, big money, marquee free agent, banked, got big dollars, and surprisingly, he's living up to it.
I mean, you might be able to say he's their MVP.
I mean, when I say surprisingly, so many of those guys, you know, we know what day one free agency usually is. It's usually a big bag of disappointment. Once the season starts, and he's been just the opposite. I think he's over-delivered on what we expected or wanted.
Oh, and his money's real. That's not Devin Godchard day one money. That was real money. He's been a force. He didn't have a good game Sunday, though.
Not going anywhere. Joe in Seabrook on the Bees. Go, Joe.
Hey, guys. I'm sick, so if I sound like crap, sorry. But I'm pissed off. The reason why the Bruins are where they're at is because of that loser, Don Sweeney. He's been a disaster in the draft. A disaster in free agency. Look what he did in 2015. Whiffed on all three of those picks. And then he signs Anus Skidmark Allmark for $20 million. And there's no way I want Tuca back here. Imagine poo-poo pants Tuca and Anus Skidmark over there. Imagine the smell of that big septic system over there.
it's so true. It's so true. Hold your nose over at the Garden late in the year between Skidmark and Tukes.
I believe it's Linus.
But Jake DeBrus, too, an emailer pointed this out to me. They had a chance to expose him in the expansion draft. Right. Now, at 4 million or 3.7, whatever his number is, it's just under 4 million. And the guy's just a guy. You had a chance to expose him.
And keep Lozon.
Interestingly, Lozon's been a healthy scratch in Seattle the last couple games. Not playing well. Ty Anderson put him on the list of one of the guys you might be able to trade for. Would you send Jake DeBrusk to Seattle and get back Jeremy Lozon?
In a heartbeat.
Sure, why
yeah,
not?
Yeah, yesterday.
In a heartbeat. In fact, I need more than half the money to do it.
I mean, that might have to be what it takes to get rid of this of DeBrusk, because who would want him at his full salary?
But I'll take it.
Yeah.
I'd be willing to pay Lozon a couple of $1 million, basically, to play here. I'd call it three. I'll pay him three rid of DeBrusk.
Right, that's including DeBrusk's money
Right, that's what I mean. Yeah, absolutely. I would do that in a second.
So that's what Sweeney's looking for, a hockey trade. He mentioned it time and again today. Meantime, did you call out the lines, Murray, during your updates? I'm sorry.
No, I can pull them up, though. Just give me a sec.
It's DeBrusk now. He's going to go
Yeah, he's back in tonight.
You know, he's from being benched to not just back in the lineup, but with
first line.
Marchand out. Who's skating with Bergeron and Pastrnak?
I'd put Hall there.
As hell.
I'd put Hall with Bergeron.
Of course you would.
Come on.
Did they put DeBrusk up there?
Okay, that's why I'm asking.
Oh, that's pathetic.
Get to that answer here in a minute. Bob and Needham. Go ahead, Bob.
Yeah, Mass, I thought we were past the luxury tax restrictions. I mean, this is what we do as bum of the month reclamation projects now. I mean, am I wrong, or is Manny Ramirez's eight-year, $160 million cut? Is that the highest total dollar value they've ever signed? That was 20
years. Let's not cross streams on different, regimes and whatnot. Heimblum, since Heimblum has gotten here, the most he's paid for any one player is $14 million for Kiki Hernandez over 2 years. Correct. That's it. That's their biggest dollar expenditure so far. So let's just stick with the last 3 years. And the question is this what it, is that what this is going to be?
Yep.
DeBrusque is not on the top line.
Hallelujah.
Taylor Hall, Bergeron, Pastrnak. Line two is Nick Foligno, Charlie Coyle, Craig Smith. Line three, Tomas Nosek, Frederick, Carson Coleman. And your fourth line is Jake DeBrusk.
Good.
Haula and Curtis Lazar.
Oh, good.
Bury that kid.
Absolutely.
And meanwhile, Taylor.
Although if you're trying to trade him, wouldn't it actually be smart to put him on the first round line?
I don't want to look at him tonight. And not that I'm so eager to look at Taylor Hall either. This guy skated in the court of public opinion. About taking the money and running, being totally invisible. We'll see what he does playing with those two tonight. Ryan in Windham, New Hampshire. Go ahead, Ryan.
Yeah, I just wanted to mention that I'm pretty excited after Bernard's comments that Mac Jones played horrible against one of the top-rated defenses in AFC, and we still had chances to run up 40-plus points. Just want to hear your concerns on it or your praises on it.
No, I think that's a good way to look at it. If Mac Jones didn't play well and you still hung 36 on a good defense, that's got to make you feel pretty good.
This is why I told you yesterday, give the offense full credit.
Oh, the rare, elusive full credit from Maz.
Yes, the offense gets full credit. You got 36 points. I'm okay with field goals.
Remind people, though, what'd you feel about the defense?
Half credit.
Oh.
So it's still a partial credit win, but offense.
75%, so you get three-quarter credit for the team.
Frank in Redding. Hi, Frank, on the Red Sox.
Hey, guys. Hey, I just wanted to mention, you mentioned earlier about mediocrity, and then, the Sox showing up for game six, and it's, we're settling for mediocrity. Is that acceptable as a fan base now? That we're accepting, Sox making
Frank,
it to game six of the, yes.
Well, is that mediocrity? You all seem pretty happy about it. My God, most people were thrilled with the season they had last year.
So this is the problem now, okay? Because you pointed this out a million times. It works. It works. And my issue is that they're the Red Sox. They should never be eliminating superstar talent from their radar. They're one of the haves. They have been for a long time. It's a market that generates great revenue. They own the TV network. Okay, they can afford to go out and sign a marquee player. That's the part that irritates me. They'll be pretty good again. They're going to probably make the playoffs. The question is, by eliminating these star players, can you win a championship? And I don't know.
Let's do some emails, Jimmy, shall we, please?
Yeah.
Yeah, let's do it.
It's the Momcast email of the day.
Pardon my spelling.
Dear Felga, I really hate you.
I'm getting tired of your propaganda, Felga.
I think Maz is a boob.
The Mimecast email of the day. Send one to Felger@985thesportshub.com.
Email today is protected by Mimecast, MIMECAST. Safeguard your organization against phishing, business email compromise, and risks of ransomware. Visit Mimecast.com. Take it from us. They are a great, great service and a great protection for your business and your internet and email stuff.
Yeah.
Okay, as Mac Jones would say. Felger writes, I can't remember who this is. I didn't write down his name. So emailer says, Felger, please stop this. Jones was the highest rated quarterback last weekend with a 120 rating. The highest. Over the past five games, his average yards per pass is 8.3. Highest in the league. He is completing 72% of his passes. You guys are morons. The next guy.
Well, that last part might be true, but it's unrelated.
Sort of feels differently. Again, sorry I don't have the name, but emailer says, hey, guys, would you please pass that bowl of whatever you guys are smoking? The rookie of the year is definitely going to Ja'Marr Chase. He hit a little skid the past 3 weeks, but will go off in December, and he will definitely top Mac for ROI. Mac, will be a good quarterback in the league and will get them into the playoffs many years. However, Mac has got to be the most overhyped quarterback. Not overrated, but overhyped quarterback since Jimmy Garoppolo.
Ooh.
Do you know who has the two highest quarterback ratings in the league since November 1?
Jimmy G and Mac Jones?
Number 1, Mac Jones. Number 2, Jimmy Garoppolo.
Interesting.
Emailer 3 says, I think Jim should move to Florida. They would like him down there because of how he gushes about Brady and hates all Massachusetts sports teams and players. Maz needs to move to a state where he can do a radio show where no one listens to the radio. He also hates all Mass sports teams and players. Sorry for venting. Sign the emailer.
No, that's not true.
No, it's not true at all. Well, just, I was defending.
It sounds that way.
It just, most of them.
The tonality.
Many of them.
He's defending Brad Marchand today. It's too much of a suspension for him.
And yeah. We got the president of the Boohoo Tuca crew over here.
Right? Who knew this whole time?
No, that's good. Let's take out a personal vendetta while our goaltending sucks. That's a good plan.
Who's personal vendetta?
You don't like Tuca. Well, I don't mean personal vendetta.
I've never met him. I don't know.
Personal. You're tired of Tuca.
Oh, my God.
It's a fatigue factor.
Exhausted of
card-carrying anti-rasker.
Okay,
yeah,
there
I'm tired of Tuca. I'd rather suck and goal.
Final word comes your way next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' on You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio crazy.
Maz's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The caller's bringing knowledge to the table.
Maz, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this four-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Maz on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
And the final word, of course, is brought to you by Town Fair Tire. If you are looking for the best deal on tires, there is only one place to go. That is Town Fair Tire. The best prices and great free services. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire.
Nobody.
Nope. It was a big boy Tuesday. That means Greg Bedard of Boston Sports Journal was in. That means we did the 10 questions. Here's the recap put together by Hardy.
I'm trying to make a point, so shut up.
Okay. What has happened to Russell Wilson and the Seahawks?
They're terrible. And, I mean, they're terrible.
What's the bigger waste of money or more egregious contract? The one Brian Kelly got to go to LSU or Lincoln Riley did to go to USC?
Brian Kelly. What has he done? Been to one or a couple playoffs?
Give me a good marquee coach for Notre Dame.
Urban Meyer.
Ugh.
Fill in the blank, Greg. I think the Bills Mafia represents
the biggest collection of loser tool bags east of Minnesota.
And Greg had to write that one down. Biggest tool bag Buffalo Bill of all time.
Fred Smirlis.
Number 4, who's your favorite Buffalo Bill of all time?
Fred Smirlis.
Number 3, here's a list of Buffalo Bills coaches since Belichick took over in 2000. I love these lists. Okay, ready? You've had one coach in the time that the Buffalo Bills have had. Wade Phillips, Greg Williams, Mike Mularkey, Dick Geron, Perry Fuel, Chan Gailey, Doug Marone, Rex Ryan, Anthony Lynn, Sean McDermott.
Mm-hmm.
Number 2, here's the list of Bills quarterbacks. Mm-hmm. All right, next, Jimmy, last one. What is the most ridiculous thing you have ever seen at Ralph Wilson Stadium, whatever they call it now?
It's the build-up.
Then there's the actual sex in the stadium and outside of it.
Well, thus is why we have the sex toys.
It's the most sexual stadium in the NFL.
With the biggest hog quotient in the NFL,
yeah.
Probably.
Oh, yeah, big time.
I mean, I'd say men and women, too. That's not a commentary on the fine ladies of Buffalo.
No, also the men.
I mean, men have to be worse.
Oh, my God, disgusting.
I mean,
you're talking
seriously.
About ass crack all over the place.
The sun literally doesn't even, like, shine there, too.
Pale.
Very pasty.
Hairy ass crack.
Oh, yeah, no, definitely. I mean, all kinds of hair all over the place. Seriously, hair on the ass, hair on the cheeks, everything. Hair on the forehead, palms.
All right, we've got, let's see. Here on 98.5, the Sports Hub, Bruins, Red Wings. They dropped the puck shortly after 7, I bet?
Yep.
6:30 pregame. Maz cracked himself up with that last one. Go ahead, Maz. Go ahead.
Just nothing worse than hairy palms.
Okay. Then we have Revs New York City FC in the MLS quarterfinals over on 92.9. Okay, when do they kick that one off?
7:30.
7:30 kick on that one. Okay, so
I might dial that one up tonight.
I might as well. Don't lose, Rebs. Don't get all horny and all in our face and all this stuff and then lose in the first round. Don't do that. Don't be that guy. Maz is still laughing over the hairy palms over there. But be that as it may, here comes Jones.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.